Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Today is the 18th of December. I'm Brian. It is my pleasure, my honor, and a joy to be here with you today, wherever it is that you may be on the planet, whatever you might be doing this Saturday. So we're cruising forward. We're ending a week, so we're reading from the Amplified Bible this week, and we'll read from that today, and then switch tomorrow. But we are continuing to move through the Minor Prophets. So the Book of Habakkuk is where we have landed. It's the eighth of the Minor Prophet books in the Old Testament. We don't know a whole bunch about Habakkuk, but there is some tradition. Jewish rabbinical tradition tells us Habakkuk was the son of the Shunammite woman Elisha raised from the dead in the book of 2 Kings. Because of the way the narrative is written, many scholars believe that Habakkuk may have been a temple prophet. In most cases, this would mean that he was a prophetic musician, gifted on the lyre, the harp, and cymbals. Some scholars believe that Habakkuk's lyrical and poetic nature indicates that he was probably a Levite working in the temple as a temple prophet. Habakkuk wonders aloud what God is doing in his time. He sees injustice and misfortune around him and has what seems to be some doubt. He dares question. And God dares answer. And once again, we're shown in Scripture that we do not know all that we think we know. In fact, we know very little of what's really going on, and Habakkuk presses into that. We see in this book one of the most beautiful pictures of the story of our lives, the story of doubt and questions being transformed into absolute trust in our Sovereign Lord. The Book of Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3:19. The burden, or oracle, the thing to be lifted up, which Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Or cry out to you of violence and you will not save? Why do you show me iniquity and wrong and yourself look upon or cause me to see perverseness and trouble? For destruction and violence are before me and there is strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is slackened and justice and a righteous sentence never go forth. From the hostility of the wicked surrounds the uncompromisingly righteous. Therefore justice goes forth, perverted. Look around you, Habakkuk, replied the Lord, among the nations and see, and be astonished, astounded. For I am putting into effect a work in your days, such that you would not believe it if it were told to you. For behold, I am rousing up the Chaldeans, that bitter and impetuous nation, who march through the breadth of the earth to take possession of dwelling places that do not belong to them. The Chaldeans are terrible and dreadful. Their justice and dignity proceed only from themselves. Their horses also are swifter than leopards and are fiercer than the evening wolves. And their horsemen spread themselves and press on proudly. Yes, their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle that hastens to devour. They all come for violence. Their faces turn eagerly forward, and they gather prisoners together like sand. They scoff at kings and rulers, are a derision to them. They ridicule every stronghold, for they heap up dust for the earth mounds and take it. Then they sweep by like wind and pass on, and they load themselves with guilt, as do all men whose own power is their God. Are not you from everlasting, O Lord my God, O my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord, you have appointed the Chaldean to execute your judgment, and you, O Rock, have established him for chastisement and correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look inactively upon injustice. Why then do you look upon the plunderer? Why are you silent when the wicked one destroys him who is more righteous than the Chaldean oppressor is? Why do you make men like the fish of the sea, like reptiles and creeping things that have no ruler and are defenseless against their foes? The Chaldean brings all of them up with his hook. He catches and drags them out with his net. He gathers them in his dragnet. So he rejoices and is in high spirits. Therefore he sacrifices offerings to his net and burns incense to his dragnet, because from them he lives luxuriously, and his food is plentiful and rich. Shall he therefore continue to empty his net and mercilessly go on slaying the nations forever? Oh, I know. I have been rash to talk out plainly this way to God. I will in my thinking stand upon my post of observation and station myself on the tower or fortress, and will watch to see what he will say within me and what answer I will make as his mouthpiece to the perplexities of my complaint against him. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and engrave it so plainly upon tablets that everyone who passes may be able to read it easily and quickly as he hastens by. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, and it hastens to the end, the fulfillment. It will not deceive or disappoint. Though it tarry, wait earnestly for it, because it will surely come. It will not be behindhand on its appointed day. Look at the proud. His soul is not straight or right within him, but the rigidly just and the uncompromisingly righteous man shall live by his faith and in his faithfulness. Moreover, wine and wealth are treacherous. The proud man, the Chaldean invader, is restless and cannot stay at home. His appetite is large like that of Sheol, and his greed is like death and cannot be satisfied. He gathers to himself all nations and collects all people as if he owned them. Shall not all these victims of his greed take up a taunt against him, and in scoffing derision of him say, woe to him who piles up that which is not his? How long will he possess it? And woe to him who loads himself with promissory notes for usury. Shall your debtors not rise up suddenly, who shall bite you, exacting usury of you? And those who awake, who will vex you, toss you to and fro and make you tremble violently? Then you will be booty for them. Because you, king of Babylon, have plundered many nations, all who are left of the people shall plunder you, because of men's blood and for the violence done to the earth, to the city, and to all the people who live in each city. Woe to him who obtains wicked gain for his house, who thinks by so doing to set his nest on high, that he may be preserved from calamity and delivered from the power of evil. You have devised shame to your house by cutting off and putting an end to many peoples, and you have sinned against and forfeited your own life. For the stone shall cry out of the wall, built in sin, to accuse you, and the beam out of the woodwork will answer it, agreeing with its charge against you. Woe to him who builds a town with blood and establishes a city by iniquity. Behold, is it not by appointment of the Lord of hosts that the nations toil, only to satisfy the fire that will consume their work? And the peoples weary themselves only for emptiness, falsity, and futility? But the time is coming when the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Woe to him who gives his neighbors drink, who pours out your bottle to them and adds to it your poisonous and blighting wrath, and also makes them drunk, that you may look on their stripped condition and pour out foul shame on their glory. You yourself will be filled with shame and contempt instead of glory. Drink also and be like an uncircumcised heathen. The cup of wrath in the Lord's right hand will come around to you, O destroyer, and foul shame shall be upon your own glory. For the violence done to Lebanon will cover and overwhelm you. The destruction of the animals which the violence frightened away will terrify you on account of men's blood, and the violence done to the land, to the city, and all its inhabitants. What profit is the graven image when its marker has formed it? It is only a molten image and a teacher of lies. For the maker trusts in his own creations as his gods when he makes dumb idols. Woe to him who says to the wooden image, "Awake," and to the dumb stone, "Arise, teach." Yet it cannot, for behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all inside it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth hush and keep silence before him. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet, set to wild, enthusiastic, and triumphal music. O Lord, I have heard the report of you and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make yourself known. In wrath, earnestly remember love, pity, and mercy. God, approaching from Sinai, came from Teman, which represents Edom, and the Holy One from Mount Paran, in the Sinai region. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. His glory covered the heavens, and the earth was full of his praise, and his brightness was like the sunlight. Rays streamed from his hand, and there in the sun-like splendor was the hiding place of his power. Before him went the pestilence, as in Egypt, and burning plague followed his feet, as in Sennacherib's army. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and shook the nations. And the eternal mountains were scattered, and the perpetual hills bowed low. His ways are everlasting, and his goings are of old. I, Habakkuk, in vision, saw the tents of Cushan, probably Ethiopia, in affliction. The tent curtains of the land of Midian trembled. Were you displeased with the rivers, O Lord? Or was your anger against the rivers you divided? Was your wrath against the Red Sea that you rode before upon your horses and your chariots of victory and deliverance? Your bow was made quite bare, sworn to the tribes of Israel by your sure word were the rods of chastisement, scourges, and calamities. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. With rivers you cleaved the earth, bringing forth waters in dry places. The mountains saw you. They trembled and writhed as if in pain. The overflowing of the water passed by, as at the deluge. The deep uttered its voice and lifted its hands on high. The sun and moon stood back as before Joshua in their inhabitation, at the light of your arrows as they sped, at the flash of your glittering spear. You marched through the land in indignation. You trampled and threshed the nations in anger. You went forth and have come for the salvation of your people, for the deliverance and victory of your anointed people, Israel. You smote the head of the house of the wicked, laying bare the foundation even to the neck. Selah, pause and calmly think of that. You pierced with his own arrows the head of the enemy's hordes. They came out as a whirlwind to scatter me, the people, rejoicing as if to devour the poor. Israel, secretly. You have trodden the sea with your horses beside the heap of great and surging waters. I heard and my whole inner self trembled. My lips quivered at the sound. Rottenness enters into my bones and under me down to my feet. I tremble. I will wait quietly for the day of trouble and distress when there shall come up against my people him who is about to invade and oppress them. Though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the product of the olive fails and the fields yield no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my personal bravery, and my invincible army. He makes my feet like hinds' feet and will make me to walk, not to stand still in terror, but to walk and make spiritual progress upon my high places of trouble, suffering, and responsibility. For the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Revelation 9, 1 through 21. Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen from the sky to the earth. And to the angel was given the key of the shaft of the abyss, the bottomless pit. He opened the long shaft of the abyss, the bottomless pit, and smoke, like the smoke of a huge furnace, puffed out of the long shaft, so that the sun and the atmosphere were darkened by the smoke from the long shaft. Then, out of the smoke, locusts came forth on the earth, and such power was granted them as the power of the earth's scorpions. They were told not to injure the herbage of the earth, nor any green thing, nor any tree, but only to attack such human beings as do not have the seal, the mark of God on their foreheads. They were not permitted to kill them, but to torment, distress, vex them for 5 months, and the pain caused them was like the torture of a scorpion when it stings a person. And in those days people will seek death and will not find it, and they will yearn to die, but death evades and flees from them. The locusts resembled horses equipped for battle. On their heads was something like golden crowns. Their faces resembled the faces of people. They had hair like the hair of women, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. Their breastplates, their scales, resembled breastplates made of iron, and the whirring noise made by their wings was like the roar of a vast number of horse-drawn chariots going at full speed into battle. They have tails like scorpions, and they have stings, and in their tails lies their ability to hurt men for the 5 months. Over them as king, they have the angel of the abyss, of the bottomless pit. In Hebrew, his name is Abaddon, destruction, but in Greek he is called Apollyon, destroyer. The first woe or calamity has passed. Behold, two others are yet to follow. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and from the four horns of the golden altar, which stands before God, I heard a solitary voice saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, "Liberate the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates." So the four angels who had been in readiness for that hour and the appointed day, month, and year were liberated to destroy a third of mankind. The number of their troops of cavalry is twice 10,000 times 10,000. 200 million. I heard what their number was. And in my vision, the horses and their riders appeared to me like this. The riders wore breastplates, the color of fiery red and sapphire blue and sulfur brimstone yellow. The heads of the horses looked like lions' heads, and from their mouths there poured fire and smoke and sulfur, brimstone. A third of mankind was killed by these three plagues, by the fire and the smoke and the sulfur, brimstone, that poured from the mouths of the horses. For the power of the horses to do harm is in their mouths and also in their tails. Their tails are like serpents, for they have heads, and it is by means of them that they wound people. And the rest of humanity who were not killed by these plagues, even then did not repent of the worship of the works of their own hands, so as to cease paying homage to the demons and idols of gold and silver and bronze and stone and wood, which can neither see nor hear or move. And they did not repent of their murders or their practice of magic, sorceries, or their sexual vice or their thefts. Psalm 137, 1 through 9. By the rivers of Babylon, there we captives sat down. Yes, we wept when we earnestly remembered Zion, the city of our God imprinted on our hearts. On the willow trees in the midst of Babylon, we hung our harps. For there they who led us captive required of us a song with words, and our tormentors and they who wasted us required of us mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill with the harp. Let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth if I remember you not. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy, remember, O Lord, against the Edomites that they said in the day of Jerusalem's fall, down, down to the ground with her. O daughter of Babylon, you devastator, you, who ought to be and shall be destroyed. Happy and blessed shall he be who requites you as you have served us. Happy and blessed shall he be who takes and dashes your little ones against the rock." Proverbs 30:10. Do not accuse and hurt a servant before his master, lest he curse you, and you be held guilty of adding to the burdens of the lowly. Father, we come before you as we close down this week. 2 weeks. 2 weeks, Lord, and we'll close the books on the year 2010. It will go into the halls of history for all time, never to be repeated. We'll close the books on this chapter of life. We can't go back and correct and redo anything. So rather than considering the things we should or could have done, we look to you toward the future. We invite you, Father, to speak from your word deeply into our lives. It's the deepest desire to finish this year strong and to begin the new one strong, so that we can surge into the new year rather than just beginning to place New Year's resolutions on the table. We don't want to resolve to do what life should already look like. We want to resolve to live life more fully, under your shadow, under your smile, in your care, intimately walking with you. So, Holy Spirit, as we have most every day of this year, and as we will continue to do, we invite you to come. You are our comforter. Lead us into all truth, we pray, as we close this week down, and as we prepare to begin a new one. We pray that you come and lead us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. www.dailyaudiobible.com is the website. Lots going on at the website. Probably the chief thing that's on the radar right now is the video that we've just unleashed. kind of this daily audio Bible in about 2 minutes video. And you can download this. Now, let me speak about this for just a second. We've created this resource for you to be able to introduce the daily audio Bible and what it is quickly. So it's something that you can download and distribute to your friends. A lot of people have emailed in and said, I'm burning this on DVD and I'm putting it on the gifts that I'm giving out. Great. Think of any possible way that you can to introduce people to the idea of going through the Bible next year. And whether they do it at the Daily Audio Bible isn't important, but this is what we do. So, of course, this is a resource that we've created to introduce people to the spoken word of God and the idea of going through it every single day in community and what that looks like. So that's a way to go through the Bible in a year. Many of you have downloaded it and have already gotten it in line to begin being played in your church this Sunday. And so there's this three-week span as we blast into the new year to really introduce people to the scriptures this way. What I'd like is if you have taken this to your church, if your church is going to play this, or if you have a small group or a Bible study that you lead and you're going to play this, please send me an email. I want to collect a list of those. I want to place that list on the website and say, you know, this is who played it. This is where it was played. So send me an email, brian@dailyaudiobible.com. If your church plays it, don't just say the church name. Also tell me where it is. So church name, city, state, so that I'll know. If you played it. Now, if you're just tuning in and go, what is that? Well, go to the website and it'll be hard for you to miss it. And there's a page we've created for you to be able to download it, both as a high definition file or as just a standard definition file. You can play it or get it played in your church's announcements. If you have a multimedia system, which most churches do these days. All right, so there's enough about that. The Daily Audio Bible store is open. I guess we are kind of, we're sort of at the cusp of, I'm not sure we can make it for Christmas. If, you know, maybe Monday is probably the last day. We'll have one more ship day next week, and that'll probably be, you know what, we'll probably ship Monday, and that'll be the last hope for Christmas. So I guess if you have the desire to order anything from the Daily Audio Bible store for Christmas time, you best do it pronto. All right, if you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible here at the end of the year, my deepest, greatest heartfelt thanks for your partnership. You can do that at the website as well. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Now, let me give you a quick cafe update. So we finally have turned the corner. We had the health department in, and they said, this is a clean place. You're good to go. Rock it. So, Monday is the final, like, real training day. And then next week, we're opening the cafe very softly, very quietly, but opening it. We're setting a grand opening date. So the grand opening of our flagship Spring Hill Wind Farm Cafe and all of its glory will be the 3rd of January. So we're going to go through the rest of this Christmas season open, but just word of mouth, just kind of, you know, so I'm going to assemble sort of the whole journey in pictures and stuff and put it on Flickr. But that may not come until our actual grand opening, so that can be in it. But January 3rd, 2011 will be the inaugural official lights on, ribbon cutting, open for business Wind Farm Cafe day. What a joy. And oh my gosh, I've got to talk at length, a little bit more length, about the journey. My gosh, it's hard. Lots and lots of details. But the details are about sewn up and we're ready. ready to launch. So thank you for your prayers as we prepare to. We've planted a community of faith in a cafe. Imagine that, and made the cafe a very blatant mission field. Everyone who walks through the door is the mission. And we're creating a model and working out the details. And it's, it's like everything else around here. When you don't have a mentor, when you really haven't really seen a whole lot of, seen that done a lot, then you just have to sort of figure it out. That's not to say that you're the first that's ever done it. It's just, you don't have a lot of places to go. So you lead and you figure it out. And that's what we've done. And that's what we've done together. This is something that we've done together this year. It is fully grown out of the Daily Audio Bible. So let's rejoice together. All right, that's it for today. I love you very much. I'm Brian. I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hey, Daily Audio Bible family. This is American Sarah Jane, who used to call from London, who's now calling from Colorado, and I just called a little bit ago, but I forgot a praise report. How could that happen? And then, in the meantime, another prayer request. Before all that, Daniel Johnson Jr. from Cincinnati, you are a blessed man, and I so appreciate having lived overseas for 12 years for you to remember our brothers and sisters in the rest of the world. And Australia, call. We want to hear from you. And China, if you can, call and leave us a message. Anyway, my praise report. I've called many times about my Spanish family, and right now, every single member of my Spanish family have a job. Praise the Lord God. So I just want to thank you for praying. They are doing really well. They're digging themselves out of all the debt and able to buy groceries. And my sister had a job for a while, and it was just temporary, and then she was off again, but they've grown her back. So she's working again. So right now, every single member of the family have jobs, and they've got enough schedules where the kids can go with their grandmother after school, and then their dad, and it's all fine and wonderful. And so thank you for praying. And the reason that I thought of that is because I have another friend in Germany. Her name is Isabel. And Isa, she's almost a believer. She still holds out, but she isn't. And she got this swanky new job, but then it turned out that the owner was an alcoholic and choleric, and all sorts of crazy things have happened, and she's had to leave it. So she's now jobless. Germany is as tough as southern Spain, if not probably more so, because Isa actually has even a master's degree and can't find a job. So she's gotten unemployment, and hopefully, won't lose her flat or anything. But she's just really, really down, and this was supposed to be this job of the century, and I'm sure it's because she's trying to do it in her own strength. But I told her that I would ring, and she said, yes, please, please, please ring and ask for prayer. So if you would pray for my friend Isa, and just basically to know Christ is the most important thing, but obviously she's trying to pay her rent and stuff. You could pray, I would appreciate it. So thank you, my family. I love you. Never walk alone.
Good morning, DAB family and Brian. My name's Alice. It's the first time I've called. I live in Virginia. And Brian, today is December 2nd. At the beginning of your podcast, you mentioned today was your father's birthday. And I know December is such a hard time with all the seasonal stuff that's going on, all the hustle and bustle and all the memories when we have lost someone. In the past 14 months, my mother passed away, my father just passed away, and I lost a nephew-in-law. I just want to put a prayer out there. I know I'm not the only one who's, got all these bittersweet memories of Christmases past and traditions and our loved ones who are no longer with us on this side. And, I keep comforting myself with the word that, my loved ones have gone on to be with Jesus. But it is very hard for those of us left behind. And I just wanted to encourage all my other brothers and sisters out there who may be grieving at this time as well, just to hang on to the Word. Read every day. The Daily Audio Bible has brought the Word of God into my life on a daily basis, and I really thank you for that. I've never been able to do it before now. And just, you know, wishing everybody a happy Christmas, a good new year, and just hang on to Jesus in the light of everything, because we all know we're going to be together with him at the end. And God bless everyone. Thank you.